First of all, I want to say that I've come over to support this project, CPR Metro. We can't have enough progressive media to tell our stories and to let people know what all of us are doing, the work that we're doing in terms of trying to mobilize and organize our community for change. And I can't wait for it to get started so I can hear the voice of Bernard White again on the airwaves. You know, that's right. You know, I couldn't wait in the morning. Now, you know, I know it's going to sound strange. He's a guy, I'm a guy. But I used to love just to hear Bernard say, good morning. I mean, that just set my day off. And from that point on, it was like about the struggle. I mean, all day long, you know. Bernard would start our day off in the morning with that calm, reassuring steadfastness, and we really need to salute this brother. He's a treasure in our community. I love him. That's why I came over here tonight. That's right. Give him a standing ovation. That's the least we can do for the brother. Give him a standing ovation. I love Bernard, and that's why I came over here. You know, sometimes it's really not about politics, it's about friendship. I'm speaking for myself, I can't speak for you, but sometimes I do things not because it's what we need to do politically, but because Bernard is my friend, and he has been there when we have needed him. He's come all the way across Jersey, and he's probably done it in a more timely fashion than I did it today. I apologize for my tardiness. I made the strategic mistake of trying to drive in here on a Christmas shopping weekend. And that was probably the stupidest thing I could possibly do. And I admit it, and I make that self-criticism. But Amanifu had me on the phone. He had me on the phone. I was in Jersey. He talked me from Jersey over here. And I was cussing and carrying on. I'm like, Amanifu, I'm turning around. I'm not coming in there. I'm going to be so embarrassed. He said, man, come on, keep coming across. So Amanifu got me through the tunnel and got me over here tonight. But first, I want to thank Bernard, and then I want to thank the rest of the hosts and producers that are in here for the various radio programs that have supported our efforts in Jersey, those of the People's Organization for Progress, and the other organizations. I mean, we're not the only organization in New Jersey. There are many groups in Jersey doing good work and doing consistent work. And one of the reasons we need progressive media is because you don't know about them. And if we don't have that kind of media to bring that out, you'll never know about them. You know, and I was thinking about this question of the media today, kind of bouncing around. Today was a pretty busy day for me. This was my fourth event today. You know, and it's been like that since we started this campaign of daily protests. But I was just thinking about this, you know, about the media and the struggle. And I was thinking about, you know, I'm an African American, so my frame of reference is the African American people's struggle for liberation in this country. And, you know, I was just thinking about, you know, slaves organizing a rebellion. And I wonder if they were disappointed that the slave rebellion didn't, like, make the newspaper. It's not going to make the newspaper because it was the master's newspaper. It was the master's media. It was the master's communication. It was the master's mail system. Everything that people needed in terms of information was run and controlled by the master, whose authority was absolute, not just in terms of before the legal system. His authority was absolute on the plantation. So back during slavery, there were two kinds of media. There was the master's media, and then there was the slaves' media. Because the slaves developed their own media to communicate. You know, they had outlawed the drum, right? Because we use the drum. But they found other ways. And it's amazing when you really look at the history of the African-American struggle. You read books like Herbert Aptheker's slave rebellions in colonial America. I mean, there were hundreds and hundreds of struggles. We never stopped fighting. We were fighting from the point that they came to get us. We were fighting on the slave ships. We were fighting when we got here. But that story wasn't known. But the slaves had a way of getting that word out. Just like the rebellion in Haiti. You know, the first successful slave revolution. Revolution of enslaved people in the world to establish a free country. Their struggle inspired black people's struggle here. You think the masters carried that news? No. You know, there were systems and mechanisms that people used. You know, at one point, they had even outlawed David Walker's appeal. Y'all know that, right? Y'all know about David Walker's appeal. That was outlawed. A slave could be killed if caught with a copy of David Walker's appeal. But the brothers that used to work on the ships, they would take copies of David Walker's appeal and sew it into their coats and smuggle it into the plantation. And people all over the country knew about struggles, slave struggles that were going on in other places. So we, as the enslaved of the 21st century, the enslaved wage slaves of the 21st century, you know, slavery by any other name is still slavery. You know, and y'all know it because when you get up in the morning, somebody call you, what you doing? I'm getting ready to go to the plantation. Now, here you are, 2011, talking about you getting ready to go to the plantation. Because you know that essentially, although the roles may have changed, that the hierarchical division of labor is still fundamentally the same. And the distribution of power is fundamentally the same. Superordinate and subordinate. So I'm glad that CPR Metro was being formed so that we will have another outlet to get the word out. And we need as many outlets as possible. Hopefully that won't be the last one. Hopefully we'll have our own conglomerate of progressive media of all different kinds to get the word out on our struggle. And we need to get the word out. In Newark, New Jersey, some of you already know it because it's been talked about here, we got a serious problem. Unemployment, and that's serious all over the country, right? Maybe 26 to 29 million people without work in this country. In the city of Newark, we have an unemployment rate that may be as high as 30%, maybe as many as 30,000 people in a city of 250,000 people total without work. We have one of the highest rates of unemployment in the state. We said, well, what could we do that would be different to draw attention to this issue? And what we decided that we would engage in these daily protests for jobs. Now, we had had some short-term ongoing actions. Y'all remember the struggle for justice for Earl Faison, who was killed by the Orange Police. We had one campaign where we had 45 days because it took 45 minutes for them to kill Earl Faison. So we had 45 days of struggle. So we had a little bit of familiarity with this question of ongoing protest. But we said we needed to go longer than that. And we look back again, the historical context, and we look back at Montgomery, the Montgomery bus boycott, and how long that lasts, 381 days. So we've decided that we're going to carry on our daily protest for at least 381 days. And how we started on June the 27th. In fact, many of you I talked to right at the beginning of this campaign, there was a rally at St. Mary's in Harlem, right? And I talked to you about it and about the demands and what they were going to be. And I was riding in my car. I was going to the Pathmark, going to do my shopping. And it was a Monday evening. And Mimi's show came on. And this guy started talking. I'm like, wait a minute, I know that's me. Mimi had recorded the speech at St. Mary's and played the whole speech on her show. I had never in my entire life had my whole speech played anywhere on anybody's show. But it was on that night. And this is why we need progressive media. That can only be done when we control the media. when we control the programming. When we do that, then we can do those types of things. But when we started this campaign, our objective was not for this to be a People's Organization for Progress effort. We were the initiators, but we wanted to make this an effort for our entire community. When Ellen came up to speak, she told you about the number of sponsoring organizations, endorsing organizations that we have. The number right now is actually 120 endorsing organizations. It will be 150 and hopefully more than that. But why are we going out to get these endorsing organizations? We're asking the organizations that endorse this project not just to add their names to the list of endorsers, but in fact to take a day that their organization will come out and join us on the picket line. We're at the intersection of West Market Street and Springfield Avenue. That's in front of the old Essex County Courthouse, right across the street from Essex County College. It's like the busiest thoroughfare intersection in the city of Newark. It's actually busier than Broad and Market. And we're there 4:30 to 6, Monday through Friday. We move down to Broad Market. That's where we were today. From 12 to 2 on Sundays, we return to West Market in Springfield from 2 to 3. And we've asked each of the organizations to come out and join us. And some of the organizations have already come out. Like today, it was the People's Organization for Progress in their yellow shirts and the members of CWA Local 1040 in their red shirts. So red and yellow were out on the picket line together demanding jobs. Sunday before last, we were joined by Bethany Baptist Church and their pastor. Now, this was on a Sunday. And what did Bethany do? This year is Bethany's 140th anniversary this year. What did they do? What did Bethany Baptist Church do? They picked the 140th day of our campaign to join us on the picket line. And that was a Sunday. And immediately after church was over, they marched out of Bethany Baptist Church, which is up West Market Street, down to where we were and joined us on that picket line. Bethany Baptist Church has come out with us. Metropolitan Baptist Church has come out with us. Christian Love is going to come out with us. And we've gotten wide-ranging endorsements from Labor. Now, this was even before the most recent developments with Occupy Wall Street. For instance, Retail Wholesale Workers Local 108. They haven't just come out one day. They have picked Wednesdays. They send members of their union to join us every Wednesday. You know, AFSCME, three locals of AFSCME have endorsed this. In fact, we actually made a presentation to the Essex West Hudson Labor Council of the AFL-CIO, and they have endorsed the project. And they are going to come out and join us. So what are we trying to do? What we're trying to do is really create a kind of nonviolent uprising in Newark. What we're trying to do is really create our own version, take that Lincoln Plaza, because that's where the statue of Abraham Lincoln is at the intersection of West Market and Springfield, and make that our Tahrir Square, and have people out there every day. And you know, it was interesting because we're right across the street from Essex County College. And at first, the students at Essex County College, they didn't know what the hell was going on. Because here these people were in these yellow sweatshirts because it was cold, you know, out there on the loudspeaker, telling people to run, honk your horn for jobs, honk your horn for jobs. The students didn't know what the hell. You know, they were laughing at us at first, but they didn't know. So we decided, well, if we're going to do this protest right across the street from Essex County College, we need to engage these students and make Essex County College a critical component of our campaign for jobs. So we began to do outreach and identify the student leaders and identify the president of the SGA And finally, I mean, this took weeks. It was not easy. This took weeks. We finally got to talk to the president of the SGA. He finally allowed me to come in and address the SGA. The first was the SGA. And then they had what they call an open forum of the Student Government Association, and many students came out. And they invited me to talk there. Then they had what they call Advocacy Day. That's when different organizations working for social justice can come and speak to the students at Essex County College. And I came then. And after 3 months, because we actually started working on Essex 3 months ago, the Student Government Association of Essex County College have formally endorsed this campaign. And the student government president said at the Advocacy Day, they're going to bring the entire student body out to join us one day in the spring. And this is what we're trying to do. We're trying, just like Occupy Wall Street, we're trying to change, we're trying to affect the political environment. Because if we were to have 100 or 200 or several hundred people out in the main thoroughfare in the heart of downtown Newark every day, whether the newspapers recognize it or not, whether the television recognize it or not, whether the corporate radio recognize it or not, it wouldn't matter. The people would see it every day. The people would see it every day. And I've already heard like testimonies to this effect. Like the student government president, whose name is Alton Drummond, is a very nice young man. He told me one of the things that began to push him in that direction was he rides the bus every day. And he was listening to people on the bus talk, because the major buses run by there, the 31 South Orange Avenue, 25 Springfield Avenue, 21 West Market Street, 34. All the major buses run by there. He was on the bus, and he said people on the bus were talking about it and were saying how they thought those brothers and sisters, whoever they were doing the right thing. So even though we may not be getting the media, if you put something out there in front of the people every day, sooner or later, if you stay long enough, people are going to start to talk about it and going to start to determine what their relationship is going to be or not going to be to that. So as has already been stated, we started on the 27th of June. Today is our 160th day of protest, 160 consecutive days. When the snowstorm came, that didn't stop us. When the hurricane came, that didn't stop us. We haven't missed a day, and we're trying not to miss a day. And if all organizations take a day, there won't be any days missed. But our 163rd day is special. On the 163rd day, which is Tuesday, December the 6th, we are going to have a major march and rally in downtown Newark for jobs, peace, equality, and justice. And why the 163rd day? Because that is the day that we're observing the Montgomery bus boycott. Because we're trying to tie what we're doing to the historical slipstream, so to speak. We see it as one continuous struggle, just different chapters along the way, but the same book, one continuous struggle. And in fact, one of the people who is going to speak at our rally on Tuesday night, December the 6th, will be Theodora Lacey, who was a resident of Montgomery and an aide to Dr. King and on the strategy committee of the Montgomery bus boycott. She's going to speak to us that night, but she lives in Teaneck, New Jersey. And she's going to speak to us, but we're going to let as many people as possible speak. This is the 163rd day of our campaign, and also we're observing the Montgomery bus boycott. So we want people to join us. We want you to join us. Come on over the river, but don't drive like I did. Take the train. Take the path. Take the train. Come over and march with us. In fact, I want to thank Brother Bokeem, because he got about a dozen New York organizations to already endorse the effort. But We would like more. We got organizations from Philadelphia. We got organizations from New York. Brothers and sisters from the Uhuru movement came up. They came all the way up from D.C. They collected people in D.C., Baltimore, Delaware, Philadelphia, and then came to Newark to join us on the picket line that day. You know, all kind of organizations, unions, grassroots organizations, peace groups, all kind of organizations. But we want more endorsements. We want more of you. Brother said that the Freedom Party is going to pick a day and come over and join us and in his chapter. But we hope the other chapters of the Freedom Party. But every organization in the movement, every progressive organization, we would like your endorsement, like you to come over, pick a day. The 381st day is going to be July 15th. These are some critical dates for us. December 6th will be the march and rally for jobs, peace, equality, and justice. And we see this, really, this march on Tuesday as a dry run for the next big march, which will be April 4th, the anniversary of the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King. We had one of our biggest marches in Newark last April 4th. Maybe some of you were there. Kind of shut downtown Newark down. And we're hoping to repeat that this time with an even bigger march on April 4th. But the 381st day will be July 15th. We literally want to have thousands of people in Newark on July 15th. To join us on the last day, which is the 381st day. And we're hoping, you know, we're trying to run this. I don't know how many of you ran track when you were in high school. And if you ran long distance, you ran anything above a quarter mile, even a quarter mile. You know, first part of the race, you kind of pace yourself and you save your strength for the last part of the race, right? You run your hardest laps at the end. So we're hoping the last 30 days of this campaign will really shake Newark up, that we literally will have control of that plaza down there for the last 30 days with hundreds of people every day. That's really what we're trying to get to. And we think next year we're going to have that kind of excitement because it is an election year. You know, people get a little more turned on about politics. And it's going to be rocking and rolling next year. So we ask for your endorsement. We ask for your support, and we will in turn reciprocate that support. Now, people say, well, why are y'all out there every day? Well, as I said at St. Mary's some months ago, there are six core demands. There are many demands, but six core demands. Our first demand around the issue of jobs, we want a national jobs program to put the 26 million people that are out of work back to work now. We want the government to take the same type of initiative that was taken during the Great Depression, had the WPA and the CCC. Many people don't know it, but there's a city subway in Newark. We got one subway, one line in Newark. But that Newark City subway was a WPA project because there was high unemployment in Newark in the 30s. It used to be a little river. It was a canal. And they said, well, what can we do to put a lot of people back to work? Said, drain that canal, lay the foundation, lay the track, and have a subway there. Because all the buses, we used to didn't have buses in Newark. It was a trolley system. And the subway actually was going to be part of the trolley system. So we want a national jobs program. Second thing, we want an end to the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. And the money that's being spent on war should be spent on job creation. The third thing, we want to protect workers' rights to unionize and collectively bargain, which they are trying to destroy in this country because they want to make everybody minimum wage workers. The fourth thing is, we think everybody should be able to see a doctor or a dentist. There needs to be universal health care in this country, health care for all, Medicare for all in this country. The fifth thing, we want full funding for education, stop the layoffs, stop the budget cuts, and stop the privatization of public schools in this country. And the sixth and last core demand is we want affordable college tuition and we want an end to debt slavery of these students. End all student debt now. Just end it. Meaning a lot of these young people don't graduate from school. They don't have a prospect. They don't have any prospects for jobs. And on top of that, they're going to have 30, 40, 50. There's some people told me undergraduate school, $100,000 in loans. That's crazy. That defeats the whole purpose of even going to school. You might as well stay home, go to post office. You have more money in your pocket because you get those loans. You're paying $1,000 a month in student loans. That's half your income. It's crazy. So those are the core demands. Those are the core reasons why we're out there. We got some other reasons too, like, you know, we need to tax the rich and make them pay their fair share in taxes. You and I have to pay 25, 30, they should pay even more. You know, they have to, I mean, one of the reasons we have all these budget loopholes now is because they haven't been paying any taxes. And when we march in Newark, we gonna make some stops along the way. We gonna stop at Bank of America. They've been foreclosing homes in Newark and Irvington. Irvington, New Jersey has a 40% foreclosure rate. They expect that it may go as high as 80%. I mean, you can go there now. There are whole sections, Ellis Avenue, 21st Street, where you see block after block of foreclosed, closed up homes. We say end those foreclosures. Stop the, declare a 5-year moratorium. Give people a chance to breathe. So those are some, and we're also going to stop at Prudential. Prudential owes the city of Newark $200 million in back taxes. Plus, they built this arena. They're supposed to pay monthly rent. They haven't paid any rent yet on the arena. Plus, they got this huge water bill. Now, they've been shutting off homeowners' water all across Newark because they didn't pay their bills. But there's a whole group of corporations in Newark, both public and private, that haven't paid their water bill. But nobody's talking about shutting them down. But they got the homeowners lined up at City Hall, forcing them to pay these bills just to have the human right to water. So these are some of the things we've been doing. We hope we'll have your continued support. You know, and I just want to say this about Occupy Wall Street. When Occupy Wall Street first happened, the People's Organization for Progress, almost a week after it went down, we passed a resolution at our own, that's what we call our decision made by a General Assembly meeting, to support Occupy Wall Street. And truthfully, Occupy Wall Street has helped us in a way because people have a better understanding of what we're doing because they see what Occupy Wall Street has been doing. And then the students at Rutgers, they decided to have Occupy Newark. They've gone down to Military Park and pitched some tents in Military Park. The day they had their organizing meeting in Peter Francesca Park behind Penn Station, People's Organization for Progress was there. And they, the Occupy Newark, at their meeting, they endorsed our daily protests. And then we went to our meeting and endorsed Occupy Newark. So we're setting up, you know, these mutually beneficial relationships. Because I'm to be truthful, you know, it could go another way. It could be like competition, you know, it could get very negative, but we're all in the same boat. I mean, truthfully, there are differences. There are differences between the way we do things and the way they do things. But I don't think the differences are so great that we should let that divide us and put us in opposition to one another. In any movement, people are going to have differences. You're going to have political tendencies. You're going to have different points of view, almost as many different points of view as there are human beings. But we have to find a way to work around, to recognize our differences, but not let them become stumbling blocks to our unity. Because in the final analysis, we got to build a broad movement, brothers and sisters. A broad movement. No one organization is going to have all the answers. No one movement is going to have the answers. We're going to have to build coalitions of organizations and probably coalitions of movements to do what we must ultimately do, Because ultimately, it's really not just about ending the war. Because if we end this war, they're going to start another war. And ultimately, it's really not about getting jobs. Because if we get jobs for 26 million, they're going to unemploy 26 more million. It's really not just about reforms. It's also about revolution. It's also about revolution. I mean, we can't escape this fact. And the core demands that we have for our daily protests, it's a minimum program. It's not a revolutionary program. It's a minimum program designed to unite the greatest number of people. But it gives us an opportunity to, in fact, raise up with other people these questions. You know, a lot of people have problems with the Martin Luther King Monument. For various reasons that I won't go into now. You know some of the reasons. But I'm glad the monument is down there. You know why I'm glad? Because this gives more opportunities for people to really talk about what Martin Luther King was all about. And it was Martin, we don't have to go too far back. It was Dr. King who said we need a radical transformation of our socioeconomic system. It was Dr. King who said, we need a radical redistribution of wealth and power. See, most people don't know that King said these things. But these efforts give us an opportunity to raise that with people. And you'd be surprised. People are more open, and maybe you're not surprised. The people in this room probably not surprised. But people are more open now to discussing questions, political questions, that 20 years ago, they might be closed to. Like 20 years ago, I was rarely invited to speak at a Sunday service. 20 years ago, it was a rare occasion. But now, you know, I'm with pastors so much that people ask me, are you minister? I just coming from the club, you know, I'm not a minister. But the point I'm trying to make is we have to build the broadest possible movement so that we can take on the big task, which is the radical transformation of the social system, the radical redistribution of power and wealth. It's not going to be easy. It's a tough job, and we got to take it step by step, but ultimately, we can't lose sight of that big picture. Thank you very much. Power to you.
Larry Ham. Wait a minute, Larry, you don't get out. Listen, we have an obligation. We got a commitment now. Under the auspices of CPR and friends, you don't even have to fill out the application. Are we going to pick a day? We're going to get it together, right? Are we going to pick a day to go down and participate with our sisters and brothers in Newark? Are we going to do it?
Yes.
We are going to be down there. We're going to let you know in the next week.
Right.
What day? You got one for us that sounds good?
No, you take
it. Okay, we're going to pick it. We're going to try to do something that's clever.
And give yourself enough time. You don't have to. The last day is July 15th, so you can pick any day.
Oh, no, you don't do that to us. You say that. You know, it could be, you know, 2014. No. Next couple of weeks, we're going to be down in Newark. Larry, thanks for your commitment. Thanks for the commitment of POP. But one thing, whose media?
Our media.
Whose media?
Our media.
One more time, whose media?
Our media.
Tim Weiss, thank you for coming in from Tennessee, brother. Bob Lederer, thanks for giving us a rundown. Thank you all for being here. Brother Bernard, thank you for all you're doing for being sweet in the morning.
All right. You don't have me on UPC.
I know.
I've got a list of people.
All right. Wow. You be all day in the morning.
Once you get back to the club. Thank you.
y'all can study it on
I got to have another guy to come in.